It is a brand new year, but same old podcast. We are here, the Mitts and Twigs podcast, coming at you in the new year, 2023. 2022 was a wild year, ups and downs. I'm happy for the new year. How about you, Ty? How are you doing? How are you loving things so far?
Loving it, man. It's a new year, new start, fresh air. Actually, it's the same old air. I actually am not a big New Year's Eve guy or New Year's guy. I'm not like usually every New Year's Day we'll go out for like a little stroll through the mountains. It's kind of like what we do. But New Year's Eve, it just doesn't tickle my fancy, if you get what I'm saying. Like, I get it, but I think it's more of the thing for like the young single, I'm gonna go out and get like wasted kind of people. And I get it's a huge celebration, but then you wake up the next year, you're like, oh cool, it's the exact same day, nothing's changed. And I love it when you go on Facebook, and I don't know, I haven't looked at your Facebook or Instagram. Maybe you're one of these people that are like, I'm gonna stop drinking, I'm gonna stop smoking, I'm gonna go to the gym every day, I'm gonna do. No, you're not. You're like, you're not. I've been around, like, what is this, my 29th one? I'm like, you're not going to change anything. Like, you're not going to change it. And there's that rare occasion that they do, but hey, I just love to see it and then see the people fail and blame it on somebody else, But hey, go out
Excuse me,
there, make
real
goals.
quick while I go and clean up some Facebook feed items.
Yeah, yeah.
No, New Year's is, I think for the most people, I think New Year's Eve is the most overrated of all
Oh.
holidays, but I'll take the holiday for what it is. It's nice that it's like almost like a little break come down after what is usually a wild holiday season in every which way. So yeah, no, I think other than last year, I think this past New Year's, I think the last 2 years I was in bed before midnight,
Yeah, I did not
because
make it.
but last night did had a nice evening, nice casual evening, saw a couple friends, had a
Nice.
nice romantic evening with my lady. So hey,
What'd you have for
can't beat
dinner?
that. Oh, we went to the Keg.
Out
Shout
of
out
all the places in
the Keg.
Vancouver, you had a Keg gift card, didn't you, for
We had
Christmas?
two Keg gift cards.
Yes. That's the best present. We got a couple this year too, but I just know it. Like the Keg, it's a safe bet. The food's usually decent. Like it's a good go. Good go. Prime rib, is that what you had?
No, we actually we did like a 9:45 rezzo so we
Oh
could hit
my.
midnight there,
Yeah.
and so we ate a little bit beforehand. We just did some appies, but hey, they knocked it out of the park. They had some great seafood, that classic old school. What do we have, like the bacon wrapped scallops and
Oh, nice. I haven't seen bacon wrapped scallops
shrimp
forever.
cocktail. When was the last time you had a shrimp cocktail?
No, it's been a minute. It's been a minute. They're good though. Like they're good, but it's been a minute.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
And then drank the rest of the gift certificates.
Wise, wise, wise man,
Shout
wise
out
man.
Aviation Gin Martini.
Oh, never tried that. I'll have to give her a go there.
Yeah, my good close personal friend Ryan Reynolds makes some good gin.
I've heard he's we gotta get in touch with him, get him on the
He's a little
pod.
shy. He's not
Ah,
one
yeah.
for, he and I obviously chop it up about hockey all the time, but he's just not one for, being in the media, being out there. He's just more of a kind of a quiet guy, so.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Everybody respect his privacy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Gang, this is not just me and Tyler hanging out, catching up. We have some fun show for you today. We talked, we thought, tis the season for New Year's resolutions. And so we're going to fire off a couple of New Year's resolutions for NHL clubs. New year, new opportunity to let the past go and focus on the future. So we're going to bring you that to you. But first, we're going to need a temp check.
Temp check.
What's the temp on them Calgary Flames?
Them Calgary Flames are rolling. I think it's 13 out of their 13 out of their last 15 games they've gotten points in. They're starting to click in. You got Jonathan Huberdeau playing that two-way hockey. He's finally starting to look like that Jonathan Huberdeau that we had or Florida had. Not quite to the same level, but he's making passes. He's playing good two-way. He's really playing well. Other than when he passes the puck to Lucic, it explodes on his stick and the puck ends up going the other way. But he seems to have found his center, which is Nazem Kadri, which is good. And yeah, I'm right now I'm feeling pretty good. They're climbing the standings. They're about, I think from last year to this year, there's only like a 3-point difference. So there hasn't been a lot of losing in this Calgary region. But unlike the Flames, you know who's been losing a lot there? The Blues. The Blues. And I feel like my heat check, my temp check is pretty mellow because of nothing crazy. I can rant about the same things. Lucic is still playing top six. I don't understand it. Young guys aren't going. But you know who I want to hear from? I want to hear from you. I want to hear the St. Louis Blues check. That's what I want.
Well, the Blues are on fire. Unfortunately, it's a dumpster fire. With the holidays, with a little more free time on my hands, I've been able to actually watch a little bit more of their live hockey. Being an out-of-market fan, being a couple hours behind, it can be a struggle to catch live games. But I've had the pleasure, shall we say, of catching some live games over the last few weeks. Some of the areas that the St. Louis Blues could improve upon, shooting, passing, playing with any sort of commitment, defending, backchecking, goaltending, skating. Skating's a big one. They don't skate well. It is rough. It is so hard to watch them play hockey right now because you can see that they're both talented and seemingly completely disinterested most of the time. The passes are all bobbled. They had so many power plays where they're just passing it around. No one's ready to shoot. No one. Everyone just keeps passing it, looking for one more cute pass. Like several power plays with no shots. And like lots of zone presence that they just keep passing it around. God forbid any of you take a shot on the goaltender and just see what happens. Nope. One more pass. It's brutal. The most consistent and best players for the Blues right now are Noel Chari and Josh Levo. And those are guys that, like, they were like paid try, like they, come on, these guys aren't going to play on most NHL teams coming into the season. They're both playing wonderful right now, but they should not be the standout players on a club that is only like 3 years away from winning a Stanley Cup with, you know, burgeoning superstars in Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou, and still in their supposed athletic primes, Vladimir Tarasenko, who just absolutely gave away the game against the Leafs in overtime, or Ryan O'Reilly, who is slightly improved his play since the start of the season, but it's still not there. The guy's just Binner is man, he's had a couple of hot streaks this season, but they've been few and far in between. His play against the Wild was atrocious. He, in my mind, was personally responsible for at least two of the goals just through his incompetence. It doesn't look like anyone's really dialed in or trying, quite frankly, most of the time. I don't know. At this point, it just seems like I just keep trying to remind myself that we recently won the Stanley Cup and that's pretty cool. And just not looking at the current product, because we had 9 goal scorers get above the 20 goal mark last year. And this year with like 8 of them back, I don't know if we're going to get a single 20 goal scorer. It's atrocious. It's atrocious. Our defense is just no good. And yet, 4 of them are locked up for like the next 5 or 6 years. Yeah, It's so bad. It's so bad. You're on mute, as well as your
I think
lighting
I'm good
issues.
now. I think I'm good. My light literally just fell. That was crazy. I'm like, I've never had that happen. All of a sudden it was pitch black. I'm like, where was I? It's funny when you're a fan of a team that really the direction of that franchise is up in question, or they're playing so below their potential that you really don't really you, it's tough to break down why, right? Because it takes so many factors. Start of the year, I think I picked I think I said on our pod that they could compete with Colorado, especially because Colorado lost the depth down the middle, they lost the depth on the wing, the brand new goaltender, and they just really had their superstars, and that was about it. And to watch St. Louis go through this weird, and really they didn't lose a bunch. Like, yeah, they lost Charlie Lindgren. I get that. That's probably a kick in the pants. They lost David Perron. Yep, I understand that. But again, how many 20 goal scores did they have last year? So basically you're just banking on five of them hitting back that stride. No, there are some real problems with this team. Like the defense, I don't think I saw that coming. I thought Nicoletti, cemented himself pretty well. And you've said that on many different occasions that, yeah, I'm okay with David Perron leaving because Nicoletti has actually proven to be a decent pickup, right? I don't know. I think the team is, and if you were going to rebuild, and I'm not saying it actually needs to be a rebuild, but definitely needs to be a retool. This is the year to do it. You have a deep 2023 draft. You have expiring contracts like Ryan O'Reilly and Vladimir Tarasenko. That will fetch a haul. Like it or not, yeah, did Vlad, not somehow see William Nylander behind him on that turn, like on that turnover? Like it was pretty bad.
It
But
was so bad.
again, he's still a legit top six right winger that will fetch quite a tidy haul. I still am in the boat that you should probably keep Ryan O'Reilly. I don't know why I'm in that boat, but I think with the Alex Petrangelo saga, like and how he went to Vegas and there was a whole new leadership and all that, I still think I like the little bit of stability of having a solid vet center down the middle to go with the young guns. But yeah, I'm all on board on pack your bags, see you later, Mr. Tarasenko. And if there's a way that you can address that decor, yeah, that'd probably be wise.
Yeah, and it's like clearly I'm a Vladdy fan, but I think at this point, because his contract is up, his 7.5 million contract is up at the end of the year, given the way this team has played, there's no way you can really justify signing him or bringing him back, because it's not the issue. You know, you're that's they need that money for other areas, like some kind of goaltending response. Thomas Greiss. It's awful, and bad at hockey, and Binnington's just not there. You know,
Yeah.
whatever it is, like you know, he has his flashes, but he needs at the very least to have a competent backup who can come in and play and act as like a 1B at the very least, or sometimes a 1A probably. I get the Ryan O'Reilly bringing back, but I also feel like Ryan O'Reilly is as valuable as anybody at the trade deadline, because it's exactly the type of like that's where I think the Blues probably can try to turn this around at least a little bit. Not this season, mind you, but they've got so much money tied up long term that they can't just blow it up. Like, no one's going to take Torey Krug's 5 years at like 6 million. No one's taking that. So there's you're not going to get that off the books. But what you can do is you can free up a little bit of that cap room, and you can get a haul for a guy that can go be a second or third line center on any cup contending team and give them a great advantage, or like a top six right winger who can score, who can give that extra punch, who's been there. And both players have that Stanley Cup pedigree that old hockey heads love. They're like, oh, this guy's won a cup before, so obviously he can win a cup again. I think the biggest loss in St. Louis and the biggest reason for what is happening is one that we don't talk about as enough, and that's Jim Montgomery leaving, because I mean, his impact as an assistant coach, I think it to me that just fits. You know, I don't think the coaching has recovered. I don't think Craig McTavish is it. I honestly would love to see him just get the F out. Berube, I'm willing to, Berube, I think, is still an excellent coach, but something needs to change, especially in my opinion, the coaching structure, because there's no real visible leadership out there. The guys look lackadaisical. They look ill prepared half the time. And yeah, Monty did absolutely great things with him, and he's doing even more of that this year. And so, yeah, I think that to me, that's where I see the biggest issue, and that you can't fix that with any player signing or trading. So,
Yeah,
but at least we got some young guns coming
I
up.
think that's a good touch, like that you made, was that the Jim Montgomery thing is I don't think that enough talk goes into that. He was really successful in Dallas when he was there before he went. Was it rehab or was it substance abuse or something like that? Can't quite remember. And then he came to St. Louis. They had an amazing season, and now look at what he's doing in Boston with basically the same roster that Bruce Cassidy had. Sometimes it just is that leadership change, that new voice, that new touch, the oldest little bit of new scheme. Because, like it or not, the NHL has a lot of parity in it. Like, a lot of teams copy the same thing. Remember when it was the first dump pass on the power play where they drop it back? The drop, I hate it, blasted into the universe. But now everybody does it on Andrews, right? It's all parity, and that's what the NHL is. But sometimes there's somebody that can shake it up, and it looks like Jim Montgomery is doing that this year. He did it last year. He did it with Dallas, and I remember we got hired by Dallas, and everybody was like, "Oh, who is this guy?" He's kind of like the new up and coming coach. And sadly, I can't remember what he was battling through, but I think it was something like
I think
that
it was I think it was alcohol.
because it was mid-season he left.
Yeah, I think he was struggling with alcohol, so.
Yeah, so he's doing amazing things in Boston. The other thing I want to just touch on St. Louis, I know this isn't the St. Louis pod, but it's kind of crazy to see a team that I think majority of the hockey world was like, they're contenders, right? This team is built to win now. We've all sat there. They have some bad money. The Braden Schenn contract is not looking fantastic. He's going to be 32 here, right? The Colton Parayko one, oh my gosh, that one's not good. And then Justin Falk and Torrey Krug are not great. Like, that's a lot of bad money. So I
I
just
will
want
defend Falk. I'll stop you right there.
to.
You got to look at Falk's numbers. Falk's 5-on-5, his goal scoring. We don't have like a top dominant defenseman.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you're paying Falk 6 point, what is it, 6.5? Yeah, it's
I think
6.5 to
so.
be your top dog. And to me, I don't think Justin Falk is like a top dog.
No.
Right, like, and that's all I'm saying is I'm not saying he might not be good. I'm just saying the money isn't great, right? So, and you have Marco Scandella for a couple more years. I don't know. It's
Oh, Scandella. Oh,
it's
I hate Scandella so much.
maybe I have to go with you where you have to trade Ryan O'Reilly and Vladimir Tarasenko because Jordan Kyrou is getting a raise, Robert Thomas is getting a raise. You have a bunch of UFAs at the end of this year. And you have to find a backup goalie. So yeah, maybe you're correct where that money, yeah, the Ryan O'Reilly money, Vlad Tarasenko money, you've already spent. It's already Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas.
And that's just it. That
That's ugly.
money, there's going to be we because the Blues have no cap room this year. Let's just throw that out there.
Yeah,
No,
zero.
they're going to get a little bit of leeway because Krug's injured. Scandella has been out for most of the year, and he's at like 3.5, I think, a year. With
Scandal yet.
thankfully next year is his last contract year. If he could come back before the trade deadline and somebody would take him on, that would be just the best trade present ever. But that's the thing, is that the Blues need help on the back end. They've got a lot of fixes. Putting a superstar defenseman back there would not turn this team around like that. But we've got some young players that are going to be coming up in the next probably 2 years, like Zachary Bolduc, Jake Neighbors, is it Snuggerud, who's playing, I think, at the World Juniors right now for the United States. Some talented forwards that are coming up, but they need somebody like they need like that shutdown, stay at home defensive presence on the back end that they don't have. They've got a lot of like supportive top pairing guys. They've got a lot of like secondary pairing defenseman, but they don't have that true stud. And it shows regularly.
So let me ask you this. This is just a hypothetical. Arizona's shopping a number one D right now. In the name of Jacob Chychrun. He's under contract for how many more years? I think it's at 4.25. Super team friendly. He's putting up huge numbers. You can see that he's recovered from his injuries. The asking price is 2 first-round picks.
Yeah.
You know who got 2 first-round picks last year? Brandon Hagel. Got 2 first-round picks last year. Why does nobody want to get, like, this is a team that clearly needs defensive help, and Edmonton Oilers is another team. There's many teams that need the help. Why are teams willing to pay for players like Brandon Hagel, who are not going to put up 30 goals or be a huge difference maker or anything like that? But when it comes to Jacob Chychrun, there's like this hesitancy. Even right now, Joel Edmondson is going to fetch more than a first round pick. Ben Chiarot fetched more than an unprotected Florida Panthers 2023 first round pick, plus more Ben Chiarot fetched. But an offensive defenseman, kind of similar in the vein of Dougie Hamilton, but a little bit more defensive, can't fetch that. You can't even ask that, right? Mm-hmm. Shane Gostisbehere, who's done well in Arizona, was they gave him away to Arizona, plus paid him picks to take him, and they went and traded a first-round pick for Rasmus Ristolainen. I don't understand it. Like, I just don't understand. Like, a team right now, you're saying the St. Louis Blues need defensive help. They need that true number one guy. You can have them. You can have them. Your teams are willing to pay, like, first-round picks for other players that really don't move the needle. But you have a guy that will move that needle, but they are scared to pay. It just doesn't make sense to me. Even this Logan Stankovic or Stankoven, I can't even say his name, that's playing in the World Juniors for Team Canada. He went in the second round. Calgary took a guy over him. I think it was like William Stroman or Tope Roney. They're not as good, all because he's smaller and a little bit offensive wizard. I just don't get the NHL. Like, I'm seeing Jacob Chychrun in there. I'm seeing the Edmonton Oilers. I'm seeing the St. Louis Blues defensive struggles, and they're like, no, we're good.
I think a lot of it has to do with the teams that are most desperate for it don't feel like they can, or literally can't afford it. Like, the Blues would need Arizona to take money back. And one of the
but at 4.25, things, 4.25 yeah, isn't a lot of money.
The Blues literally don't have cap space.
No, I like, get that.
They don't have cap space. And then next year, they still don't really have any cap space. And a lot of their guys, especially the defenders that they would like to move or should move, have no trade clauses.
Oh, yeah, Marco Scandella.
Yeah. That Torrey Krug, I think it's a full no trade for Torrey, which is...
Torrey is, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, no, yeah, it's a 15 team. 15 team.
Is 15? Yeah, 15, okay.
Yeah.
I bet Arizona's not one of those teams. I just think that a lot of teams this year aren't going to be... I don't know. I think last year was a bit of an aberration. I think it was wild what was being paid. I just don't... I have a hard time seeing that happen again. And I mean, Florida is the cause of most of those stupid deals. So you take that out of the equation, and it wasn't such a ridiculous offseason. Or trades deadline. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think that makes a lot of sense for the Blues in terms of in-season trading.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be upset.
Well, I'm saying, like, no, do the Blues right now make sense to trade their 2023 first round pick? No, they don't, right? Like, I don't know which way this team's going to go in the second half. I just sit there and I see a team like Edmonton, who's starving for a number one D, other than like Darnell Nurse, who's clearly not a number one D, but is getting paid like one, and they're more interested in Joel Edmondson, and I just makes no sense to me. It just makes zero sense to me that we're still in this age of like hockey that, like, if you're under this certain size or you're this type of player that actually wins. Like, look at Cale Makar. Like, look at these offensive players. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's a mini rant, but it is what it is. Jacob Chikrin, I hope somebody frees you from Arizona. Even though I will give them props, they are selling out that tiny ass arena. They're having celebrities show up. They're beating the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is fantastic. And yeah, so and they're I think close to 500, which is impressive.
They have to trade Pietrangelo. Like,
oh, he somebody, is unbelievable.
He's so good, and like clearly right now, the whole point of the Coyotes is not to be great. They're playing themselves out of the Bedard sweepstakes.
Yeah.
Like, surely if there's like, he's also on a team friendly deal right now. Like, there's got to be teams out there that would just fall all over themselves to get a guy like that. He's so young. He's playing great, and yeah.
It's actually hilarious that so the Arizona Coyotes have been bad for a while. They've missed out on Austin Matthews. That's the year they took Clayton Keller. They've missed out on Connor McDavid. They've missed out on Nico Hischier. They've missed out on Jack Hughes. They've missed out on everybody. And they're about to miss out on Connor Bedard.
At least they didn't get stuck with Lafreniere, who recently healthy scratched Alexis Lafreniere. I think I was reading that essentially he can't skate well enough to play in the NHL. He's full of talent. He's got the natural size and everything. But the question is whether or not he's actually ever put any effort since coming to the NHL to improve his skating, because it's like he's still skating at a junior level. And yeah, that's why it's wild. How many first round picks do you think that the New York Rangers can be disappointed by? The last 5 years.
Kaapo Kakko, although that draft wasn't anything special. Alexis Lafreniere. It just screams Jonathan Drouin to me. Like Tampa Jonathan Drouin. It just screams that situation. He's got all the talent in the world, thinks he's he is an unreal player. He was an unreal junior player. Unreal. You can't say he hasn't had chances. He's played with Panarin, he's played with Zibanejad.
He's played all over that lineup.
They went far last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. They did well. I think Gerard Gallant is like the most player-friendly coach that you can get. So to blame it on him, yeah. Does he like to shuffle his lines? Every coach likes to shuffle his lines. Like, there's Daryl Sutter, who's the oldest coach in the book by a mile. He loves to shuffle the lines. Like, he just does. Like, there's no stability, and that's because you're trying to find that right mix. And I don't know. I think Lafreniere is a bust. Like, I just do. Yeah, Jay Fresh posted a card analytically. He looks good in certain stages of the game, and I get that. But analytically, also, people are like, well, we should have had this many goals. Above goals was that you lost the game.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, analytics, yeah, you could be doing the right thing. You could be doing this. You still lost the game, right? The Calgary Flames analytically played the Edmonton Oilers quite well, destroyed them 5-on-5, all that. But you know what? They lost the game. Yeah. They just did. Like, it's just like I'm every day, all day, I'm here to listen to analytics. I love it. I love reading it. I love doing all that stuff. But at the end of the day, sometimes it's just like, you still lost.
Yeah. Well, this might make you happy because the rumor is that if somebody was to be able to trade for Lafreniere, it would cost them a first round pick.
Who's going to, and I think I read a tweet. It was from an insider. Their ask is a high first round pick or a first round pick plus a top six forward, and then it was followed by they are very unlikely to get that. Again, they just are. It's
like, hey, this guy who hasn't really improved professionally in his 3 years in the league, despite being a really touted player.
Mm-hmm.
We want more than we actually got out of drafting him. Like, that's just
screams Jonathan Drouin to me. That's just all it is. Same situation.
It's an Alexander Daigle situation.
It's not quite. He's a lot better.
Dag for you purists out there, but
he's a lot better than Neil Yakupov. But I don't know.
I mean, is he though?
I don't know. I'm trying to make the argument that he's really good. Like he's decent, but he's just not that good. Like there's been no flashes.
No.
There just have been zero flashes. And this kid had a ton of hype going in. And maybe at the end of the day, it's not a bad thing to send kids back and develop a little like extra. You know what I mean? At junior, they can work on their skating. The NHL, supposed to be at this level. You're supposed to be ready to play in the NHL. Developing at the NHL doesn't really work that well.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Well, what do you think? Do you think it's time for some New Year's resolutions,
Let's do some.
All right, gang. We're going to throw some New Year's resolutions that we think some NHL clubs need to make. Now, I think we're going to look at around five or so, but we'll see where we go. Maybe we'll fire off all 32. Who knows? We might hit our stride. Probably not. We don't have all night. We're busy people. Let me just say, I'll start this off.
Sure.
I got a New Year's resolution for the Colorado Avalanche.
Mm.
In this new year, Colorado needs to acquire Nazem Kadri's replacement via trade.
Mm.
They are sorely missing that. His play. And now you can't just find a Nazem Kadri any which way, but I mean, they need to improve their center depth right now desperately if they want to have a hope of making another run. I think the rest of it could come together. Obviously Gorgiev isn't having a lights out year, but I mean, at this point in the season, last year, Kemper's numbers weren't amazing, except that he was getting lots of wins. So, yeah, I think that needs to be the Colorado Avalanche's New Year's resolution, is to acquire that second, third line center. JT Compher ain't it.
I was going to say, what about JT? Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to stay on the Colorado Avalanche. I thought you were going to go this way. And it's going to be, health be good, because Colorado Avalanche, they are not a deep lineup like they have been in the years, like over the last couple of years. That was basically because they had great contracts for Landeskog, great contracts for MacKinnon, and Nazem Kadri was only making $4 million, basically. It was great. It worked out awesome. What's also really slowed down the Colorado Avalanche and haven't hurt them as much as I thought they would is how many games they have lost to big players. Nichushkin's been out for majority of the season, battling with some injuries. MacKinnon's been out. He's back. They have not looked good. They just haven't. And when you're not playing with your best players, you're most likely not going to be well. So the Colorado Avalanche are probably sitting there begging at their New Year's dinner, Christmas dinner, whatever, begging for, you know, good old lady luck to stop hurting their precious superstars and let them play. That's my number one.
I think Nate's a big turkey guy. I feel like he is.
He's probably, if he is, it's like, it's meal planning turkey. I can only have this much turkey. I can't
obviously.
Yeah, like I can't indulge.
It's such a lean meat, you know. Yeah. He just has like a couple slices of turkey with his
except for cauliflower, I get this
pasta.
Oh, gross. Although it's all right, I guess. But I get this turkey from, like, I live in rural Alberta. So I'm really careful what I say here. I get this turkey from the Hutterites. And they're huge, like 30-pound birds. And I'll tell you, it is fatty. Like, it is greasy and fatty. And let me tell you guys, 30-pound birds, everybody's like, holy cow, look at that bird. That's probably amazing. It's not. It's not amazing. It's super greasy. It takes a bitch in a while to cook. And just don't do it. Just buy two smaller birds. They're way better. You can season them a lot better. Again, it's the grease. It's just the disgusting grease feel after. And I'm with you. Maybe he is a big turkey guy. I went way off board there, but that's okay. So the moral of my story is, when a Hutterite comes and tries to sell you a 30-pound bird, just go be like, no, thank you, sir. I know that shit's greasy. And that's that.
Teaching life lessons here.
They do. They come.
What's your next resolution?
Oh, I'm going again. I would just like to be on the record here. Down in Florida, they had a coach go, I think it was like something like, hold on, let me pull it up here. 51-18. 51-18. And I had my co-host on here. He's not a head coach. He sucks. Get back to playing. Retire. Boy, did the Florida Panthers wish they could rehire him this minute. Because you know who is not good? The guy who quit on his team in Winnipeg, Mr. Paul Maurice. I heard Matthew Tkachuk singing Paul Maurice's praises. Florida Panthers Twitter at the once he got hired, finally a coach. You know who coached a lot better than Paul Maurice? About everybody in the NHL, including Andrew Burnett. You know where Andrew Burnett is right now? We were just talking about Montgomery, how he was a great assistant coach in St. Louis. Now he's being successful in Boston. He's in New Jersey. You know how the Devils are right now? 23-11. You know who's got a losing record? Paul Maurice. The Florida Panthers are about to just pick up that phone. Yo, Andrew, we messed up. I miss you, baby. Come back. Andrew's going to be like, no. I'm doing something special here, Bill. You keep trading all our first-round picks. Get new coaching. That's it.
Paul Maurice has a shadow of the team that Andrew Grenier rode throughout that season, right?
No.
Number two, Andrew Brunet is doing what he does best, which is assisting.
He was 51-18.
He's assisting. He's killing it as an
assistant. He is killing it. He's making Lindy Ruff look way too good. Lindy Ruff's about to get fired, and they're going to prop up Andrew. Hey,
Florida can bow out the first round.
Florida's even making the playoffs, man. They suck.
Last point. What's the resolution?
Let's fire our coach. That was it. Florida, new coach, new system. That was it.
Oh, man. Well, let's just say that maybe they're not the only team. For Ottawa, I think the Ottawa Senators, their New Year's resolution is to find a coach to lead their team. Maybe don't look to Florida, and please don't look to New Jersey. But DJ Smith, this is really coming across as his specialty being development, but not so much the next stage of things. This is a team that came into the season with a lot of expectation, a lot of excitement, and they're currently sitting pretty far outside of the playoff hunt. Now, mind you, there's some injuries, there's some issues, but every team deals with that. You gotta get past it. They still have tons of talent there, and they're not getting it done. And it's a lot, especially once you've signed all these fresh contracts, it's a lot easier to replace the coach. DJ Smith, maybe he can go be an assistant somewhere and kill it. Maybe the Blues could hire him. I don't know. It wouldn't be so bad. It's got to be better than McTavish. But yeah, Ottawa, your resolution for this new year is to find a coach to lead this talented team to the next level.
Hey, they're shopping Zaitsev and attaching a first round pick. And I don't know if it's a first, maybe a second. They just had a high round pick for somebody to take that gap in.
Yeah.
Arizona sitting there like, yes, baby, another free pick. All I got to do is eat this bad money. Good on Arizona.
Amazing.
My next one is, it's like when you're that stud, like, and this is life. I'm about to play a little bit of my life in here. When you have those two babes and you're kind of going back and forth in between both, and you like promise yourself to the one, and you lock in long term, and you a couple months in, you're like, boy, this is not going the way I thought it would. And the other one is shining, superstar. She's become a model. She's got a multi-million dollar husband now. She bought a yacht. She's going to all the parties, all the popular parties. And you're sitting here like, boy, I rolled the dice and rolled them wrong. And Vancouver's New Year's resolution, I don't know what the New Year's resolution is, to like get rid of all that negative energy. Become a new man. you know, just to switch it up just a little bit, because Bo Horvat is killing it, and you guys locked yourselves to the guy who hates giving a crap, JT Miller. Sorry, Vancouver, but it's time to clear that bad juju. New year, new you. Forget him in the past. That's it. That's it. That's my Vancouver resolution.
I'm so, so glad you were able to tie that back together. Oh, man. I hope your wife doesn't listen to the podcast.
Also, I've been the same girl for like 12 years. Never competed between two. I just got to clear that up. But for story's sake, daddy was playing.
Don't worry, I'm going to edit the retraction of this pod. I've got a New Year's resolution for the Vancouver Canucks as well. It does not have nearly as colorful of a story to go along with it. But Vancouver's New Year's resolution is to get on the same page internally. They need to bring everyone together. Maybe it's going to some wonderful yoga retreat where they can do some trust falls and really tap into their issues, because they're just not on the same page. Management and coaches have different visions, different ideas about what they're trying to accomplish. The players don't seem to be on the same page. We've got fantastic clips this week of JT Miller screaming at teammates, telling them where to go and what to do. And I mean, I want to believe, like, if this is a successful team, if this was a known leader in a different light, this would be like, we'd be touting JT Miller's leadership in the way that he's like a coach on the ice. That's not what we're seeing. We're not seeing that. From the start of the season, there have been loud overtures made about a very clicky split locker room. And I think that it's not just the locker room. I don't think anybody on that team from top to bottom is on the same page with one another. And that's what their New Year's resolution needs to be, to come together as a team, one way or another, all the way through, and chase one vision.
So. Sounds like a One Direction song.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I would say Vancouver's weird in the sense that you look at Montreal and they brought a new GM, they brought a new president, they brought a new head coach, and then they're all on the same page.
Yeah.
Jim Rutherford, and again, it's on ownership. We don't want to rebuild. We want to retool on the fly. Well, we've now seen over the years, that doesn't work. Retooling on the fly rarely works. It worked in New York for the Islanders for some weird reason. It did not work for the Rangers because they got two high first round picks that just have not panned out. So yeah, I'm with you. That's a great resolution. Yeah. Was your storytelling kind of crappy? Yeah. But mine.
Well, look at Vancouver. You've got an owner that used to be a heavy, heavy social media presence who's gone ghost because he's facing multiple lawsuits from his adult children. You've got Jim Rutherford, supposed to be, you know, leading this whole thing, who has been publicly all season long, publicly shit talking his head coach.
It's wild.
You've got what was a feel good hire now suing the team for wrongful dismissal.
And he locked up the wrong guy.
Again, he locked up the wrong guy.
Yeah. You're like, hey, we're going to lock up our captain. He's the heartbeat to our team. Now we're going to overpay JT Miller. And at the time, I'll be on record. At the time, I was like, man, Vancouver fans are not happy about this, you know, long-term commitment to JT Miller. In the back of my mind, I didn't even realize that means, oh, we're going to let Bo Horvat walk, right? But I'm a Calgary fan. I don't really feel bad for Vancouver fans. Go burn your city.
Oh,
sorry. Sorry. My bad. Hey, I'm sorry. Is it my turn?
You heard it here first. Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. Did that. Okay. This one feels so good because I'm so petty. Suck. Let's continue to suck. Columbus needs to go full tank for Connor Bedard. Full tank. I saw on the Daily Faceoff that Frank Cervelli would love to see the Chicago Blackhawks land Connor Bedard. Hell no. There's two things in this world that I want to see. I want to see Columbus suck for this whole year because Johnny Gaudreau chose them, and I am petty. So keep losing, Johnny. I'm glad you're there. Hope your house is nice. But I also want him to have success and not hate his life, right? So after this year, I want them to get a little bit of success. And I feel like the best way to get instant success is somehow winning the draft lottery and obtaining that stud. That kid is a special player, and he would look amazing playing alongside Johnny Gaudreau. He just would. That's it. So continue to suck, Columbus, for this year, and then give Johnny something good in Connor Bedard, because he chose you over choosing a winning franchise in Calgary.
Oh my gosh, we're working through a lot of emotions today. For Boston, I've got a new resolution for the Boston Bruins. And that is to stay in the moment and be present, because you're having an absolutely fantastic season. You are seeing all-time franchise greats playing really, really well. Best team in the league right now, if I'm not mistaken. Your coach is done really well. Everything about this should be a treasured season. Do not look ahead where two-thirds of your team is, you know, going to be a UFA at the end of the season. You're looking at unprecedented change and turnover next year, almost certainly. And especially when you're talking about a 37-year-old top-line center
who's he's unreal.
Beating back father time. So stay present. Stay in the moment. Enjoy this great year. You don't know what next season's going to bring. Literally, you don't know who's going to be on the team next year. But this year, you really, really look like you have a chance to win it all. So
they've only lost four times in regulation. Could you imagine like being a fan of that team? Like, they've had like a lot of success over years and years and years and years. Yeah, did they lose to St. Louis? Sorry, Joe. But still.
Are you referencing the 2019 Stanley Cup Finals?
I am.
Whoa. Look at these beautiful sweaters I have of that 2019 Stanley Cup champion.
So I put a lot of effort into the four, and I didn't get a fifth one. So I'm going to just come up. I don't have a story for this one. Let's just do this. Top of my head. This is for the Toronto Maple Leafs and for the Calgary Flames. And yeah, the out of the gates was a little bit rough, a little bit rocky. And you were questioning, you know, GMs and their jobs and what they've put like forward and all that. I feel like their New Year's resolution should be commitment, should be committing to their leader. And that would mean the Calgary Flames should lock up Brad Treliving, not because he's doing an outstanding job, because I'm scared shitless of GM Daryl Sutter again. And the next one is Kyle Dubas, because he actually is doing an incredible job. He just really is. We've crapped a lot about the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's stuck to his guns. He's kind of doing the Toronto Raptors versions of his Maple Leafs, where we're just going to keep rolling the dice until it like clicks. And it has clicked. The Matt Murray, amazing. Samsonov, amazing. Is their defense good? No, still is not good. But it's starting to work for their goaltending. It's starting to, their forward corpse is just unreal. Like, John Tavares is having a great year. William Nylander is doing really well. Cal Yarncrow couldn't score in Calgary. He's scoring in Toronto.
Yeah.
It's a good feel-good story. And he is a free agent. And I feel like it'd be really dumb to let him go this whole year and be like, maybe, you know, going to try something else out, see what the other offers are. Toronto, lock up your man. There's not many better free agents out there on the market. He's your guy.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And I think it, you know, in defense of their defense, they had at certain points of the season until recently, they were missing to injury like their top four defensemen, and the younger guys and the role players really stepped up. They have very little, if no, drop off in overall team wins production. So that bodes really well for exactly what they are hoping to do, which is a long playoff run. When you can have guys step in and not see that change, not get that drop off. And this is just great opportunity for playing time for some of these guys and developing them. So yeah, that's it for Toronto. It's Yeah. Stand by your man. My last New Year's resolution is going to be for my St. Louis Blues. And boys, man, 2019, what a season. Last year, heck of a season too. Almost had it all together. Looking forward in this new year, though, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves. We need to act accordingly. Do we love Vladimir Tarasenko? To our very core, we do. Is Ryan O'Reilly hockey world's version of Ryan Reynolds? Some say he is. Would it break my heart to see these guys go? Yes, it would. But it is the right move for the franchise. And we're going to make some hard decisions. So we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to realize this is not our year. Unless we can fire Craig McTavish and replace him with somebody competent. This is not our year. And then we need to act accordingly. 2023 is the year of honesty and accountability. Now, sure, the rest of the world is probably not going to take that to heart. Something tells me 2023's global theme is not going to be honesty and accountability. But it could start at home. It could start with St. Louis. And who knows? Maybe we can change the world.
God damn, that was amazing. I felt that in my core. That was touching.
Yang, thank you. Thank you so much for listening with us, to us, rant and rave. Another year in the books, another new year started. Let's start the year with positivity and love, honesty and accountability. If you can. If you have any thoughts on anything we said, please find us on Twitter. You get us on there, Mitz Twig Podcast. You can find us anywhere podcasts are carried. That's my promise to you. If you can't find us, let us know. Of course, that might be hard if you can't find us. And you can find us on YouTube eventually, sometimes. Even if it's looking at old shows, you can still see our gorgeous smiling faces.
That was a shot at me, guys. That's a shot at me. He does it subtly. He's really good at it. It's like a sniper, like a subtle sniper. God damn it, Todd, I just posted on YouTube.
And for our audio only listeners, just know this is the year of the mustache. Get on board.
Adios, amigos. Oh, yeah.
Adios. Be kind to each other. We love you. Thank you so much. And bye.